I'd like to turn this morning to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He, that is the Lord, my shepherd, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This same one leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And all of this is for his name's sake, or for his glory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of the 150 Psalms, none has been more read than this. None has been more quoted than this. None has been more written about than this 23rd Psalm. But the sad truth is that though the Psalm is widely recognized and though many can recite it from memory, very, very few know anything at all about its contents as they relate to everyday life. To many, this psalm is simply beautiful poetry, and it is beautiful poetry. To them, it is beautiful poetry that makes them feel good. But it can be and ought to be so much more. We do not know the occasion of the psalm. We do not know when David wrote those words, whether it was while he was a shepherd boy watching over and caring for his flock, or whether it was later in his years and he's thinking back upon those days when he was a shepherd. But reading through this psalm, we are privileged to listen in as one of God's children lifts his heart in song, lifts his heart in praise to the Lord. As you read through the psalm, you see that it's very relevant to life. Reading through the psalm, you see it's very personal. David uses personal pronouns such as me and my and I and mine. 17 times he uses these words. And he does so in connection or in reference to the Lord. Always in reference to the Lord. It is a psalm that speaks of personal trust. It's a psalm that speaks of a personal relationship with the Lord. It is a psalm that speaks of personal experience with the Lord. It is a psalm of personal confidence. It is a psalm of faith. It is a psalm of joy in the Lord. All the saved ought to be able to identify and ought to be able to relate with what David is saying in this psalm. The truth is, we that are saved, we can all enter into it. We can all live in the reality of what is written here. For the saved, this 23rd Psalm ought to be our personal, ongoing life experience. Reading through the Psalm, we ought to be able to see a picture of our own lives. So read it through. Read it over and over and over. And ask yourself, does this describe the life that I'm now living? Does this describe my present life experience? Am I in this psalm? Looking at the psalm, we see that it contains only 6 verses, 118 words. It's a relatively short psalm. But what occurs in our hearts when we read it, or when we hear it read, says much about the place that the psalm has in our life. Says much about our place in the psalm. So as we read this psalm this morning, what transpired in your heart? Because that says much about whether or not we truly relate to this psalm. When we can personally enter into the my and the me and the I and the mine, the heart will be stirred. The heart will be invigorated. What we've just read today ought to be enough to fill our hearts with praise. Just reading the words ought to fill us with praise. Ought to fill us with gratitude. Ought to fill us with longing and love and reverence for the Lord. We want to center the thought of the message around the picture that is painted in verse 4. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Because it is here, in the valley of the shadow of death, that we are called to live the life that is portrayed in this psalm. I want to speak this morning on thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. Thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. We'll preach the second part of it this evening. But first of all, let's consider the setting of this psalm. And it's important that we take note of the setting, because it is in this setting that we can live the reality of the psalm. So the setting of the psalm is described basically by 2 phrases. All the days of my life, there in verse 6. And in verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Those 2 phrases speak of our earthly life. Days and the valley of the shadow of death. First of all, we see that life consists of days. We read in verse 6 that phrase, all the days of my life. This speaks of our length of time upon earth. It is stated in Job 14 and verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of few days. So all the days of my life, relatively speaking, are but a few days. In other words, life is very short. But it's not only short. We see in Job 14 and verse 1 also that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That is, his days are packed with problems and difficulties and concerns and stresses and strives and trials and burdens and griefs and afflictions and suffering. In other words, this earth is a place of trouble. Again, the psalmist says in verse 6, all the days of my life. And in Job 14 and verse 2, he says, he, that is this man that is born of a woman, cometh forth like a flower and is cut down and fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So our days upon earth are not only few, they are passing very quickly. They are passing very quickly. The older you get, the more you will say, where has the time gone? And the more you realize that this life passes very, very quickly. The psalmist said there in verse 6, all the days of my life, he did not state the number of his days, for that is unknown to man. It is known to God, but it is unknown to man. Job 14 and verse 5 says, his, again, this man that is born of a woman, his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. In other words, our life upon this earth is a mystery. We do not know how long we have, nor do we know what the next day may bring. Life is a mystery. Life is uncertainty. All the days of my life, however many those days are, they consist of variety. They consist of changes. Again, Solomon said, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Life is made up of events and experiences and changes. And we do not know what those will be from day to day. Not only is life upon earth relatively short, full of trouble, quickly passing, filled with mystery and uncertainty, filled with events and experiences and changes, but as you read through the 23rd Psalm, you see that life consists of many needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then as you read on from there, you see many needs. Life consists of innumerable needs. Reading through the 23rd Psalm, we see that life consists of barren places. It talks about green pastures. Along with green pastures, there are barren places. Life consists of raging waters. He talks about still waters. There are also raging waters. We see he talks about the Lord restoring his soul. That means life consists of acts of enmity. Lives consist of sin. There are paths of righteousness. There are paths of unrighteousness. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But life also consists of fears. And life does consist of evil. And life does consist of discomforts and dangers. All that's brought out in verse 4. Life consists of enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Life consists of nuisances. Thou anointest my head. That's relief from nuisance. It is in this setting that we live. This is the setting in which you and I live our lives. Earthly life is also lived in the vale of death. Verse 4, David speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. Almost all, 99.9% of commentaries limit this phrase to one's dying moments, to, and no doubt it applies to one's dying moments. But I don't believe that it should be limited to one's dying moments. You notice David says, I walk, present tense, through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not when I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. To walk through speaks of a journey. And to walk through the valley of the sword of death, the valley of the shadow of death, I believe, speaks of the whole journey of life. The whole journey of life we're walking through, the valley of the shadow of death. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the phrase shadow of death appears 20 times, I believe in 19 different verses in the Word of God. And as you read that phrase, it often refers to the character of this world. It often refers to the character of this world as a poor and miserable place, as a very frightening place, a dark place, a cold place, an uncomfortable place. Notice in Psalm 107, and you determine if this is just talking about the time of one's death. Psalm 107, verse 14. He brought them out of the darkness, talking about Israel, and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. He brought them out of the shadow of death. He's not talking about death there. He's talking about Egypt. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. The land of the shadow of death. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? He's talking about the land of Egypt that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death. God brought us out. He's not talking about the hour of one's death. He's talking about this world. In Jeremiah chapter, or in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region, we have the land of the shadow of death, and now we have the region and shadow of death. Light is sprung up. We also see it in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. May I say that this, speaking of the world, is the land and the region of the shadow of death. The fall of Adam put the stamp of death upon everything. Upon everything. There is not anything in this world that is not marked by death. This is the valley of the shadow of death. Everything is in a state of decay. The whole earth is a valley of death. And this is where we live all of our days. This is the setting in which we live. That brings us to the life that we can live in this setting. In this 23rd Psalm, David describes a beautiful, vigorous, abundant, wonderful, and absolutely amazing life. It is a life experienced and enjoyed and lived above the valley of the shadow of death. It is a life lived in days full of trouble, full of uncertainty, full of change. It is a life lived while journeying through the valley of the shadow of death. So it is a life lived in the very midst of adverse circumstances, which sets forth this fact. Circumstances do not have to be favorable. Circumstances do not have to be perfect to live this life that is described in this 23rd Psalm. So we want to look at the life that is described in this 23rd Psalm. And it is a life of thriving as we pass through this valley of the shadow of death. First of all, it is a life, and we're not going to spend much detail in any of these points, but it is a life lived in confident reliance and dependence upon the Lord. This is stated in the very first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd." It is then illustrated throughout the psalm. In a world filled with trouble, in a world filled with problems, in a world filled with difficulties and concerns and stresses and burdens and griefs and afflictions, in a world filled with suffering and dangers and mysteries and uncertainties, we need something that we can depend upon. We need something that we can lean upon. We need something that we can draw from. And for the psalmist, it was the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the land, this is the region of the valley of the shadow of death. What are we leaning upon today? What are we depending upon today? What are we drawing from today? Are we trying to draw from the valley of the shadow of death? The only thing there is death. And yet that's where many are trying to draw from. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this life, the Lord is my shepherd. This is the life that we can live. You notice also it is a life lived with provisions of peace and refreshment. Again, this is the land, this is the region of the valley of the shadow of death. And in this valley of the shadow of death, there are many barren pastures. Not only barren pastures, there are poisonous pastures. But not only are there barren and poisonous pastures as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says there are also green pastures. As you walk through this valley of the shadow of death, there are raging waters, there are threatening waters that threaten to drown us. But David also says, there's also some still waters. And the Lord, my shepherd, He knows where the green pastures are. The Lord, my shepherd, He knows where the still waters are. And these green pastures and still waters speak of spiritual rest. Yes, even in the valley of the shadow of death, the child of God can find rest. You don't have to get out of that valley to find rest. You can find rest in the midst of adverse circumstances. These pastures and still waters speak of spiritual refreshment. It speaks of spiritual peace. It speaks of spiritual contentment and security. As the sheep lie down in the green pastures, oh, how secure they are. As they're walking beside the still waters, they feel that sense of security. But notice there in verse 2 that the psalmist speaks of the Lord's ongoing activity in relation to these green pastures, in relation to these still waters, and as they relate to Himself. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and He maketh, present tense, ongoing, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This is ongoing experience. All through the psalm we see this. This is an ongoing experience. This isn't something that just happens occasionally. This is an ongoing experience. So this is life lived personally, experiencing the activity of the Lord. Do you experience and feel the activity of the Lord in bringing you to the green pastures? Is that a ongoing experience for you? I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I remember one time when the Lord led. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an ongoing experience. He leadeth me, or He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me, ongoing activity, beside the still waters. This is thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice also that this is a life of God's restoring grace. Verse 3. Again, this is the land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is a place of spiritual deterioration. It is a place where destructive forces and destructive ways and destructive philosophies and distractions and attractions are pulling at us all the time. But notice, He restoreth my soul. That speaks of ongoing activity toward Himself. He restoreth my soul. That speaks of the Lord drawing us to Himself. That speaks of spiritual awakening. That speaks of a spiritual resurrection. And this is an ongoing experience. He restoreth my soul. It's not, He did restore my soul. He restoreth my soul. Even though all these other things are pulling at me, He is always restoring my soul. This is living life in an ongoing communion with God, in an ongoing friendship with the Lord. He restoreth my soul. This is living life personally experiencing God shaping our lives and God conforming our lives. Do you consistently feel and experience this activity of the Lord in your life? Because this is thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice also it is a life lived in paths of righteousness. Again, this land, this is a land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. And through this valley there are many wayward and ruinous paths that will take you far, far, far away from God. But in this valley, there are also paths of righteousness. These paths, they don't take you away from God. These paths lead you to God. These paths are holy. These paths are clean. These paths are in accord with the Word of God, with Thus Saith the Lord. And these are always the best paths for us. These are always the most beneficial paths for us. And these paths are always for His glory. And no matter how many wayward paths there are, and no matter how popular those wayward paths are, there's always a right path. It's always there. No matter what situation you are in life, there may be 10,000 wayward paths, but I'm here to tell you there's a right path also in every situation. You can't say, well, I just chose the less of evils because I didn't have any other choice. Oh, that's not true. There's always a path of righteousness. And the psalmist says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Again, he's speaking of ongoing activity toward himself. This is life personally experiencing the Lord's drawing power toward that which is right. Do you consistently experience and feel this activity of the Lord drawing you in the direction of what is right? I'm not talking about every now and then. I'm talking about an ongoing experience. It is also a life lived not controlled by the influences of the world. This is the land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. And in verse 4, David declares, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." The world is the valley of the shadow of death. And as such, it's a grim place. The world's a grim place. The world is a place of weariness. It's a place of weakness. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It's a place of coldness. It's a place of dilemma. It's a place of interruptions. It's a place of disturbances. It's a very threatening place. It's a place of enemies. It's a place of shadows. The shadow of the valley of death. That is the appearance of things, just like a shadow. It can be very, very scary. Very, very frightening. It's a place of doom. It's a place of deterioration. But notice, David is walking. That speaks of calmness. That speaks of steady advance. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." I'll fear no evil. There's no panic. I mean, you read verse 4. Is there panic? Not at all. He's not under the control of the valley. He's not under the control of what might be in the valley. He says, "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's not stuck in the valley. He's walking through the valley. "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." This wasn't a dead end. To many today, this world is a dead end. But that should never be so for the child of God. "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's not a disaster. Oh, to so many today, life and everything about their life is a disaster. Does this sound like a disaster to you? "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And as I walk through that valley, I fear no evil." Again, this isn't just talking about one's dying moments. This is talking about the land and the region of the valley of the shadow of death. This is talking about life in this world. And life does not have to be a disaster. "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's not taken captive by the valley. Oh, and many today are taken captive by this world. This world that's such a grim and dreadful place. And they're taken captive by the world. That should never be so. The child of God. "I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I will fear no evil." He's determined. He's confident. You and I, as we walk through this life, we ought to be determined. We ought to be confident. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There's peace. All is well with his soul. All is well with his soul. When he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," this is not normal. "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's not normal. The normal thing to do is to fear. But he's living above the norm. Again, "I walk through." He is steadily advancing through this land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. And I ask you today, do you consistently advance and spiritually thrive through this valley? This is where we live. This is this life, the valley of the shadow of death. Notice also, it is a life lived in the awareness of God's presence. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He had a continual awareness of the presence of the Lord. Doesn't say, for thou wilt be with me, thou art with me. Continual presence, ongoing presence of God. Perhaps, I'm sure, that David could see the shadows of the valley. He could feel the shadows of the valley. But more importantly, he could see and feel the presence of the Lord, who is my shepherd, as he walked through that valley. So I ask you today, do you consistently live in the awareness of his nearness? How wonderful it is to wake up every day and feel the nearness of God. To go through life and feel the nearness of God. Do you consistently feel and see his presence? Or are you walking alone through this valley of the shadow of death? We notice also that it is a life lived recognizing the authority and control of God. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is the land and this is the region of the valley of the shadow of death. And though our earthly life is a walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod, of course, was used to protect the sheep. It was used to drive off predators. It was also used to remind the sheep of their own parameters and their own boundaries. The staff was used to draw the sheep, to rescue the sheep. The rod and the staff speak of the authority of the shepherd. It speaks of the shepherd exercising his authority and control over the sheep. Again, this is ongoing activity. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, or they are comforting to me. This is living consistently under the recognized authority and control of the Lord. You see, today most think that they can thrive by trying to escape the authority and control of the Lord. But spiritual thriving is found submitting to the authority and control of the Lord. Do we consistently live under the authority and control of God? Do we consistently recognize the authority and control of God in our lives? Notice also, it was a life lived in the reality of God's provision. Again, this is the land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. And our earthly life is a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But notice, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Again, that's ongoing activity. This isn't just an every now and then thing. This is ongoing activity. The Lord with great care, the Lord with great thought, the Lord with great love and wisdom prepares a feast. Even in the midst of my enemies, when I'm surrounded by enemies, God has prepared a feast for me. It's always so. Oh, you can live off the fruit of the valley of the shadow of death if you want to. But I'm telling you today, in that very valley of the shadow of death, God has prepared a feast for his people. Where is it that we eat today? With whom do we feast today? David, this is also a life lived knowing that there is relief. We all need relief. As you go through this valley, as you go through this valley of the shadow of death, you're going to need relief. And we find that thou anointest, again, ongoing activity, my head with oil. This was done for the sheep to give them relief from pests, from irritants, from flies, from parasites. This world is filled with those things. This valley of the shadow of death is filled with those things. Where do we find relief? Do you find it by going deeper and deeper and deeper into the valley of the shadow of death? No, you won't find relief there. Thou anointest my head with oil. We need relief. And God is our relief. We see also as a life lived in a growing relationship with the Lord. We have to hurry on. But in the first three verses, and we've brought this out many times in the past, David speaks of the Lord in third person. That is, he's talking about the Lord. You read those first three verses, and David is talking about the Lord. Nothing wrong with talking about the Lord. But beginning with verse 4, he speaks of the Lord in the second person. You read on in verse 4 and 5. He's not talking about the Lord anymore. He's talking to the Lord. Nothing wrong with talking about the Lord. But if you want to live a life of thriving, you have to at some point advance from talking about the Lord to talking to the Lord. This is why even some of God's people get upset when you talk to them about the Lord, because that's all they've got. I like when somebody talks to me about the Lord. But you know what will really help me? Is when I talk with him. And that's what David does in this psalm. He advances from talking about the Lord to communion with the Lord. And this is a life lived in a growing relationship with the Lord. You say, well, I would love to have an ongoing, growing relationship with the Lord, but you just don't understand my circumstances. This is the valley of the shadow of death. Circumstances are not perfect, nor will they ever be perfect. But you can live in this valley, not just talking about the Lord. You can live in this valley communing with the Lord. And that's why he said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's talking to the Lord. Notice in verse 5 and 6, and we'll close. It is a life lived in satisfaction and joy. Now, as you read through the psalm, this is a wonderful life that David is picturing. Green pastures beneath us. Still waters beside us. My shepherd with me. A table of feasting set before me. A place prepared beyond this valley, the shadow of death. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of this filled David with overflowing. He said there in verse 5, my cup runneth over. That is, I cannot contain all that's included in this life. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's always true. No matter what a day may bring forth, open your eyes, there's goodness and mercy of God. Surely, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is living life with praise. This is living life with gratitude. This is living life with wonder and amazement. He is experiencing the overflow of life with God. And it's more than he can hold. He says, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what this is? This is living life with an exclamation mark. As we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Many of God's people, it would be a far, far, far stretch to say they live life with an exclamation mark. It would be more accurate to say they live life with a sad face. That's how many of God's people live. You can't live Psalm 23 and live with a sad face. You live with an exclamation mark. And should not God's people, should not you and I, saved by the grace of God, should not we live with an exclamation mark? God help us. Do you consistently live life thriving in the valley of the shadow of death? This isn't just referring to one's dying moments. This world is the land and region of the valley of the shadow of death. Are you thriving in that valley? Or have you allowed the valley of the shadow of death to grip you? To lay hold of you. To control you. Has your life become a disaster in the valley of the shadow of death? Doesn't have to. And it all goes back to the Lord is. And who He is. He is as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm telling you, as children of God, we can thrive as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The problem that many of God's people have is they expect this world to be something other than the valley of the shadow of death. We don't live in Eden anymore. Adam changed that. And now death is stamped upon everything. Everything in this world has death stamped upon it. How foolish would it be to pursue that which has death stamped all over it. But all we ought to pursue life with the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Jim will lead us.